Welcome to A Girl in Progress, the self-development podcast for millennial women working on themselves for themselves. We believe it's possible to strive to become the best version of yourself, while also accepting yourself exactly as you are. Whether it's giving you a glimpse into the daily routines of inspiring women, or sharing the stories of those who started before they felt ready, this podcast is all about encouraging you to take imperfect action towards your goals and find productivity and success on your own terms. As for me, I'm your host, Emma Norris. I'm a journalist, author, cheese enthusiast, imperfect action coach, and the founder of agirlinprogress.com. Let's get into the episode. Today's guest is a self-love coach who teaches you how to embody self-love so you can create the life you desire. She's also the host of the Self-Love Fix podcast, where she helps women delve deeper into their inner child to help them cultivate better self-worth and self-esteem. Beatrice is an absolute wealth of knowledge who I've worked with personally, so I'm super excited to have her on the show today. Welcome to the podcast, Beatrice.
Hi, Emma. Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. So we'll start by asking you a little bit about your career journey. So obviously you are a self-love coach now, but I know you actually come from a nutrition background. So I'd love to hear a little bit about where you started from and sort of how that's led to where you are today.
Yeah, so I am also a registered dietitian, and that's what I have much of my formal training in. And so it's funny because when I went to graduate school, I did like a program where I did graduate school and also what we call a dietetic internship to become a dietitian. And that was when I discovered all of this self-love stuff. It was by accident. And it's funny enough because it was about perfectionism. So yeah, I had a moment where it was just like, you know, I didn't get high marks. I had preceptors who would grade me at the end of our rotations together. So preceptors are just people that monitor how you interact with other people. In my case, in hospitals and community settings, things like that. And when someone gave me like a review that was like a mid-range review, and they even told me, they were like, look, you're not skilled at this. I can't give you high remarks. I'm grading you where you're at. But to me, I didn't hear any of that. All I heard was like, you're terrible. You're not good. It was just a breakdown moment. And I realized like, hey, you know, to have a breakdown moment like this, something's really wrong here. Cause I look at my other, you know, the people in my program, and they were just unaffected. So that's how it all started. It started like growing in my, for lack of better words, in my brain, this thing of like, hey, there's a deeper issue here. So I followed that. And then I started realizing like, you know, hey, I'm really operating from a place of trying to please, you know, other people so that I feel okay. That's how it really started out. Yeah.
Yeah. And was there a first like resource that you came across that sort of started your self-love journey? Like when you realized, you know, this is something that I can actively work on?
Yes, actually. So this was when I was with another preceptor and that perfectionism thing jumped out again. And like, I just Googled it actually when she was like, hey, I don't have much work for you. You could just chill on your computer. I Googled the perfectionism thing because I had some downtime. And then I heard about like a narcissistic parent and the tie to that. And somebody had a very similar experience and they wrote about it on their blog. And I was like, what's that? I was like, what is narcissism? What's that? Fell down the rabbit hole. My poor preceptor was like, hey, like I kind of need your help now. And I'm falling down the rabbit hole. So it was a blog. That was the first resource.
Yeah. And that sort of kickstarted the whole, I guess, healing journey for you. I think touching what you said about perfectionism, I think for perfectionists, it's almost harder to get mediocre feedback than to get bad feedback because, I don't know, it's like, it can feel like there's nothing worse than just being like middle of the road, you know? And it's like, you're so close yet so far. So I totally relate to that. And how did you realize, one, that you could, you know, do teaching self-love as a career and also that you wanted to?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I had honestly just, that kickstarted this whole journey for myself. And the whole time I was really just trying to get myself out of, you know, I was trying to get through grad school. So I wasn't really even thinking about helping other people because I was trying to help myself at first. And then way down the road later, a random thought popped up in my head in my Texas apartment where it was like, hey, you need to make a podcast about this. And I was like, this is the most random. I was like, this is so weird. But I just kept, it kept banging at me. It's like, you can't hide this. Like, it helped you so much. You're not struggling anymore. Somebody needs to know they don't have to struggle too. So it started out as wanting to share, because I was actually on the side trying to do like private practice with being a dietitian. So I had, I didn't really have, it wasn't the original plan to become a coach, but yeah.
So it started, it started with the podcast, and then did you kind of have people, you know, reach out to you and say like, this is really helping me? And is that kind of like when you're like, okay, like maybe there's something bigger here and I could be doing this for a living?
Yes, I started to have people reach out to me. And also I realized like that I didn't really have as much passion for nutrition as I did for this, because I just felt like it was so, it was such transformational work that I wanted to put my everything into. And nutrition was more something I enjoyed, but not really wanting to put my everything into. So yeah, it just naturally unfolded, I would say, as I kept doing the podcast episodes.
Yeah. And is there much crossover, do you think, you know, with like the nutrition and like health and diet? However you say that word, world, yeah. And self-love, like, you know, when you were working in that area, did you see a lot of people struggling with self-love in relation to their bodies and like not nourishing their bodies, dieting?
Yeah, that's such a good question, because I think in the world of dietetics it gets to be a lot, because it's either we're talking about actual diets, you know, maybe even training and bodybuilding, like there's so many different ways it could go. But a lot of what I saw is people feeling like a slave to their bodies, whether it's they want to look a certain way or they have to quote unquote have to eat a certain way to maintain a certain, you know, they felt like it was like prison. People were imprisoned to themselves. And the war that you have, I think, with food is a lot of times the war that you have with yourself. So it's, you know, how you think, how you approach eating and food. I know there are people who have eating disorders, so I'm not going to go there. But if you don't, you know, how you approach it says a lot about how you approach yourself.
Yeah, and it almost, I'm sure it often manifests that way, you know, a lack of self-love. And yeah, we won't go into the eating disorder thing, but I'm sure it manifests in trying to control, I guess, your body in different ways. Like, you know, you're trying to like fill like a hole, I guess, inside you. So like looking a certain way, you might think that it's going to fill that hole, but of course it never does. And so I want to go back to starting your podcast. So I guess this is the first time, you know, you done anything like this, you know, I don't know if you already had like your Instagram up and going, but like putting yourself out there in this way, was that daunting at all? And did you encounter any self-doubt with that?
Yeah, that's such a good question. Honestly, I definitely had that thing of like, oh, I have to start from, you know, the ground zero. Cause at the time I was doing like my own little nutrition, trying to do private practice with that. And I was like, oh, I got that going. Now I really have to start from ground zero. So it was a lot of self-doubt, even just thinking like, what would people think? That I'm sure everybody thinks that way. But then I said to myself, when I heard what people were saying about how the beginning episodes were helping them and how they were like, please don't stop this, please don't stop this. I mean, all of that went out the window. Cause I'm like, I can't be concerned about people who don't get it, because there are people who need to hear. So that's how it started out for me. I was like, I don't care. I think I was like, in the beginning, I was like 100, 200 followers. Who cares? Like, I don't care. I have like something to share.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's probably a testament to the healing you'd kind of already done. You know, you'd already done a lot of work on your self-love and your self-confidence. And even though you sort of were also having your own journey while doing this podcast, like, you know, even the fact that you were able to look past that and be like, you know, there's actually people that I need to help. So like, who cares about, like, you know, people who probably aren't even thinking anything about it anyway, because we always think that they're, you know, so concerned with what we're doing, but half the time people are just caught up in their own stuff.
Exactly.
And inner child healing and narcissism are two themes that you speak about a lot, especially on the podcast. For those who might not know, well, first of all, let's talk about like narcissism. Like, do you mind explaining a little bit about what that is and how that can affect your self-worth later in life if you are raised under those conditions?
Yeah, so with narcissism, it's funny because a lot of times when we hear, well, I guess depending on how you've ever heard about it, you automatically think like narcissistic personality disorder, which I understand is like a clinical diagnosis that therapists and people in that realm are responsible for diagnosing. But if we're just going to talk about narcissism in general, it's really, you know, people who have difficulty seeing outside of themselves and really have like this grand sort of like blown up idea of who they are as a mask for the insecurities that they feel. And so you put those two things together when you have this like grandiose idea of who you are, combined with I can't take responsibility for anything or anyone and I can never do wrong. If you grow up in a household like that, like I did, what ends up happening is your view of yourself is skewed because you know, you're dealing with somebody who can't see you because all they see is themselves. It can be extremely devastating. It's just, you're too busy trying to like play up on this person and who they quote unquote are, that you never get the chance to develop your own identity, basically.
Yeah. And what kind of impact can that have on people as adults? Is it, you know, like, sense of self, like struggling with that? Is it independence? Is it being emotionally reactive? Like, yeah, how does that manifest?
Yeah, I think it's all of that and more. It ends up manifesting for most people, not all people. It ends up manifesting as codependency. Some people just end up being straight up disassociated, disconnected from themselves, falling maybe into alcoholism and drugs and just not connected, but not codependent. But most people end up being what we call codependent, which is feeling like I have to get my identity from other people. If other people don't love me, it's a feeling of like, I'm nothing, I'm worthless. It really makes you feel like an alien to yourself. That's the best way to put it.
Yeah, so, like you don't know yourself or like, yeah, it's like that sort of sense, like insecure sense of self. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's really hard. And how do people go about, I guess, healing that or like, you know, unraveling some of the damage that's been done?
Yeah, I think it's all about reparenting or like you were saying earlier, how I talk a lot about inner child healing, because what ends up happening is when you grow up in an environment like that, you have probably been compared to a lot. Because again, when you're talking about somebody who's thinking of themselves so highly in this grandiose thing, they can't imagine flaws. They don't own flaws. They don't own shadows. So they think, or they compare you to everyone, and that leads you to have such a fractured view of yourself and then no acceptance of all parts of you. So really, there needs to be reparenting. There needs to be handholding with yourself and approaching yourself from the angle of the parent that you wish that you had.
Yeah, absolutely. That's such a great explanation. And then I guess on a different sort of note, I know you are quite into spirituality. So I'm curious as to whether that has always been something that you've been interested in and connected to, or has that been a bit of a journey for you?
I think with spirituality, when it comes to like my intuition, I've always been connected to that. And I've always tried to listen to that first. But of course, the codependency clouded it and made me go, okay, wait, they're right. But then I go back to the thing of like, wait, I knew it. So I've always been connected to that part of me. But like, if we're talking more of the things I'm into now, I think that was more recent, like trying things like astrology or the tarot or other like, yeah, crystals, thank you. forgot about that one. Other like material forms of an expression of what I felt inside. It just randomly happened. I think that's what you find when you're doing this whole self-love thing, is you find more and more of what leads you back to you over time.
Yeah, and it helps give you meaning as well, and you know, make sense of this crazy world that we live in, like, yeah. And just have something bigger than you, I guess, to turn to and like care about, like that's always nice. And yeah. What obviously self-love is at the core of like everything you do, so I'm interested to know, like, what does self-love mean to you? Because it has become a bit of a buzzword, but I get the impression for you it's kind of more about self-compassion than like, you know, self-care, blah blah blah.
Yeah. No, I think it's just something I've been exploring and thinking about lately is how self-love is such, it's having a deep reverence for yourself, like really valuing yourself, valuing things like your time, your own energy, valuing your own emotions and feelings. It's like all of the inner world stuff I find is diving into that is how I view self-love. And using that as like your lens for how you approach the world, because otherwise you get caught up in, you know, am I making them happy? Are they okay? Well, you've got to fill your own cup first. Otherwise you're pouring from lack.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to go back to the perfectionism that we touched on before. So obviously, yeah, perfectionism is a theme we talk about a lot on this podcast. And I know you obviously said you dealt with it, you know, when you were first training, but is it something you still deal with now? And how do you, I guess, move past it?
Yeah, I think the thing is, like, whenever you enter new spaces or do new things, you find that some of your old stories pop up in different ways, in new ways, different ways. So for me, like, maybe I don't deal with the perfectionism in terms of the workplace or caring about how other people see me and how I do things. But I'll find, or I've found lately, like when it comes to organizing my day or structuring my day, I feel like it's all or nothing sometimes. I'm like, it's either I am super, super structured and get it done, or like if I miss the one task I was supposed to do, just throw it all away. So I find that that's something, because recently, with having quit my job back in November, I've had to learn how to structure my day my way instead of the way I had before. So that's the one thing that's come up for me, I would definitely say.
Yeah, and I'm interested in that transition from, I guess, you know, working a full-time job to now like working for yourself online full-time, because I think a lot of people who listen to this podcast, you know, they either are doing that or they want to do that. So what was that transition like for you? Like, did you, just on a practical level, like, did you kind of, you know, keep your full-time job until you were at a point where you were like confident that you could, you know, make a living coaching? Was it intimidating at all?
Yeah, so definitely what happened for me was I was actually working part-time on purpose, since I was doing both of these things at once. But there came a point where I was starting to get some of those, like some of that anxiety. My gut was feeling off, like stomach aches, things like that. Energy drained. And I realized, like, I felt that tug a long time ago, but I wasn't listening to it. And I feel like it manifested into physical symptoms. And that's when I said, enough is enough. And I just randomly typed up like a resignation type letter and said, okay, today's the day. Like, I was already thinking about it, but I was like, no, today's the day. So I know a lot of people say things like, oh, wait till you have this much in your savings, or they have a lot of like nice structural ways to approach it, which I am not going to advise anybody not to do that. That would be good if that's for you. But for me, it was a gut feeling. And I was like, I can't, is my well-being worth this? Because I loved my job. My job was not a problem. It's the fact that I was balancing both. So,
yeah, absolutely. And in terms of, you sound like you're really good at, like, I guess, trusting your gut and your intuition. Like, is that something that's just naturally been the case for you, or have you sort of had to hone that over time?
Yeah, I think from learning many times over that, like, I would hear it. It would be a small voice, and then I would ignore it and go with somebody else's way and then see the consequences. So after having that happen so many times, I've trained myself to listen to it first and just start trying to follow where it's taking me as best I can. So it's been like that all my life, but before I would ignore it.
Yeah, it's like you have to kind of like shush those other voices in your head, like other people, thinking about like what other people think you should do, and be able to zone in on like what you really want, right?
Yeah. And I think more so it was even just like the little tiny voice would be like, hey, come this way, come do this.
Yeah.
And I would be like, it's not logical. I would try to think about logic or things like that. But, you know, a lot of the times your intuition is not leading you to logic. That's why people follow it.
You have to trust it, which can be hard, but it pretty much always works out for the best. And I guess, what does an average day look like for you? Like, I'm sure that varies so much, but yeah, on a standard day.
Yeah, on a standard day, I would say I wake up and I wasn't always like this, by the way, because I used to wake up and like get a piece of toast and rush out the door within 20 minutes to work, which wasn't serving me at all. So now I take a lot of time in the morning because I have to pour into my own cup and I have to like set the tone for how I want the day to look. So I usually spend like 2 hours doing things like, and honestly, I used to be the person that would laugh like, no, there's no way people do this, but actually I do this. So like, 2 hours alternating between meditation, writing in a gratitude journal. And then I'll do like affirmations and breath work, things like that. And I just try to set the tone. And then the rest of the day, it depends on the day, but it'll look like doing more of the structured things like checking emails or doing client calls. And I try to split the week too, so that it's not all, we're doing so many things at once, because it can just scatter your energy. And then I try to just do something fun towards the end of the day, like roller skating is something I can't stop doing right now.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
I do that. I'm too uncoordinated. But you know, it's how you get better, right? Just do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So like I try to do something fun to end the day. And then, yeah, I guess that's how my day goes, and then just wrap it up with some kind of nighttime routine.
Amazing. And you kind of already touched on this, but what are your sort of biggest practices for, I guess, self-love and self-care and yeah, like filling up your own cup, like you said? Like, I mean, you kind of already said meditation and doing something fun, like roller skating. Maybe is there any like books or podcasts or any other resources that you like turn to when you need a bit of a boost?
Yeah, that's a good question. Okay, I feel like I talk about this on my Instagram so much, it's almost embarrassing, but because like it's not something like I'm sponsored by or anything, but I just can't stop. I'm really into astrology, so I have the Chani app. Chani Nicholas is an astrologer.
Yeah.
And
I think I've seen you talk about this. You're sponsored by astrology.
Yeah, it's like, it's totally just something I do on my own will. And what I like about it, or why I go to it for inspiration, is because she lays out how the week would look for you astrologically. She has meditations in there. She has like a bunch of like journal practices, a lot of things to help you like manage your emotions in coordination with like what's going on with the planets in the sky.
Yeah.
So yeah. And then Discover Your Dharma by Sahara Rose. I've been listening to that book. It's so good because it talks about following your intuition, your passions, and that voice, so that you can tune out the other voices and go after what you really desire.
Yeah, amazing. What star sign are you, by the way, just out of curiosity?
Yeah, so I'm an Aquarius sun sign.
Wait, does that mean you're an Aquarius, like you're out of the normal ones, like you, when's your birthday?
So January 22nd, just had a birthday.
So we're the same star sign. Did I know this? I'm an Aquarius as well.
Oh, you're in February, huh? Isn't your birthday?
Yeah, my birthday is in like next week, I think. No, the week after.
Next week.
Oh, I didn't realize we were both Aquarius. Or is that, are you kind of on the cusp of, what's the one before it?
Capricorn? No, I'm not on the cusp. So yeah.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. So does that mean you're free-spirited, creative? It's funny, like I think Aquariuses are not meant to be emotional, but I mean, I feel like I identify more with the Pisces in that way.
Yeah, and that's why I like with astrology, like knowing your entire birth chart as opposed to
it makes so much more sense, because I was like, whatever the sign is ruled by emotion, I was Pisces. Aww. I think so. I was like, yeah, that makes so much more sense. And like, what is it that you love about astrology? Is it kind of just, you know, helping, you know, make sense of things, or having like another sort of like guiding force for, you know, not decisions, but like, you know, just something else to consult, I suppose.
Yes. I really like how because I go to an astrologer and she talks about how you want to make sure that the planets are supporting you in the things that you do. So it's like you said, it's not like you go to them for decisions, but it's like the way the planets are hanging in the sky, it can either support what you're trying to go after, or it can make it more there's more resistance. So I like that you have just an extra toolkit in your box to help see like should I approach this now or maybe later? So it's just amazing.
Yeah, so it's not using it to make the decisions for you, but it's like, yeah. You can assess whether it, you know, really is like the right time. And like you say, whether it's going to support or not support that decision. Amazing. And talk us through a little bit about what your coaching looks like and what it involves.
Yeah, so with my coaching, currently I have one-on-one coaching, and then I have a group coaching program. So with the group coaching program, I'm really, you know, trying to focus on mind, body, soul, and helping incorporate those three aspects, because I've found through coaching all this time that sometimes we can either lean more towards like the knowledge part, and which is great, but if we're not incorporating things into like the body and the soul, a lot of it could either get lost or we're having trouble bringing it into our life. So I focus a lot on that in group coaching. So that's really exciting. And then with one-on-one coaching, we really just go based on where you're at and work from there, work on up from there, and exploring concepts like the ego, like we did, and the higher self. And learning how to, like, when the triggers come up, how we can push past it and move towards where you want to actually be. Because ultimately, I'm trying to help people, like, we don't want to get caught up into this thing of just, like, working through trauma for the sake of working through trauma. It's, you're trying to uncover these layers so that you can get to some place that you want to be. And that looks different for every single person.
Yeah, amazing. Everybody should do it. It's so transformative. Like, yeah, it's made a huge difference in my life. So everybody look into it, although you're probably, you're pretty high in demand. So, you know. And where can everyone find you online?
Yeah, so you can find me over at the Self Love Fix on Instagram or my website, BeatriceKamau.com, and that's K-A-M-A-U. Yeah, or the podcast, of course. Oh,
yes, podcast is a great starting point. I think that's how I found you initially. So it's a great introduction to everything you do and all your amazingness. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing all your wisdom and stories and inspiration. Yeah, you're so inspiring to me, and I know you will be to everyone listening at home as well.
Oh, thank you so much. This was so fun, Emma. Awesome.
Thanks for listening to the Girl in Progress podcast. If you like what you heard, make sure you hit subscribe and leave us a review. You can also check us out over on agirlinprogress.com, the online destination for women working on themselves for themselves, or get social with us on Instagram @_girlinprogress. Can't wait to see you there.